Buddy, welcome to a Tuesday edition of Bulldog Hour. Captain Russ alongside here as always until 3. CG will take over for about a half hour, and the Giants will come up at 3:30 today. They are in Miami. And after the way the homestand ended, they probably are looking forward to getting out of town. The fan base may be looking forward to the Giants getting out of town. The good fortune the Giants have, they are playing the next three against the team that has, it's the only team, by the way, that has a worse record than they in the National League. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Line up for the preview of the playoffs, the Giants and the Marlins tonight. Anyway, they'll get started at 3:30, 4:10, first pitch, and I'm sure it'll be a monster crowd in Miami tonight. They're probably lined up for tickets right now. Over on 790 tonight, the true flip side of what's going on with Bay Area baseball, the red-hot Oakland A's, 10 straight wins after winning yesterday afternoon. Angels are still at the Coliseum, and once again, you probably won't see a great crowd. So there you go. That's the life of an A's fan or an A's player. They win 10 straight. They had a pretty good crowd yesterday because of the Memorial Day holiday. I doubt you're going to see much more than 10 to 12,000 tonight, and the A's deserve a lot better. We had said at the start of the year that no matter how they began things in April, they would end up in the playoffs, and I believe they will. They've closed up to second place. I don't know if they can run the Astros down because the Astros don't lose that often, but the A's may very well be right back where they were last year, which is in that wild card play-in game. We'll see. But if they do get the retro ballpark by Lake Merritt or wherever, maybe people will finally show up for what is a really good and entertaining team that nobody, including folks in the East Bay, seem to notice about. So, yeah, there you go. All right, guys, for us, the feature of the week, of course, would be Fresno State baseball. They got the late game, which is good for everybody traveling. They also ended up in Palo Alto, as people know. So Paul will be there 6:30 on Friday, 7 o'clock first pitch. There are 6 hours in between the games, so there should not be an issue. And it is interesting that Stanford opted to play the early game because UCLA has decided to play the late game. So had the Bulldogs ended up in the regional we thought they might end up in, Fresno State would have played an early afternoon game on Friday, which would have made it very, very difficult for people here to get there in time, particularly if you had a work commitment on Friday. Now with a 7 o'clock start, yeah, Stanford will play the early game at Kleinfield, Sunken Diamond. You've got a 7 o'clock first pitch, which gives people time here to make the relatively quick 2 hour and a half, 2:45, or in my case, about 1 hour 45 if the police are looking the other way, trip to get there to see Fresno State. Our good friend Gary had mentioned that he was up in Reno, and he was talking about how the weekend went, which was terrific on the field, but he also made mention of Bulldog fans outnumbering other fans probably 5-1, which was the guess we had that Fresno State would see great representation, and I would imagine we're going to see a huge contingent of Bulldog fans at Sunken Diamond coming up on Friday. All right, to talk all about that, our good friend and usual Tuesday visitor, here it comes again, long intro, host of the Bulldog Insider on Channel 24, still at 6 o'clock right now, and the baseball side of things, but when we get to football, it will be after Sunday Night Football. Also, the sports director, 24 and 47, and the Olympics, and the French Open, and Serena's outfit. Everything else he's in charge of, our good friend Andrew Martin. Andrew, how you doing?
Doing well, Tony. You mentioned the Oakland A's being the hottest team in baseball right now. You know, the second hottest team is the New York Yankees, and they're getting it done with, I keep joking with people, a single-A lineup. It's amazing what the Yankees are able to do with all of their, you know, big-name guys on the injured list. And, of course, that includes Aaron Judge. You know, they prefer that all those guys get back and be healthy, but there's no rush right now because the Yankees are winning with guys like Ford and Urshela and Tauchman and stuff like that. So it's pretty good the way that they are still winning with their main guys being hurt.
Well, CG and I, and by the way, CG coming up for the short period of time until 3:30 today. The Giants with their longest road trip east, they are back east this week and also around the bend next week as well. We have a few emails about Aaron Judge, and I should mention that Aaron is back swinging the bat again. We'll see how long it's going to be before he gets back in the lineup, but it's encouraging, and you're right, it's a mash unit for the Yankees, but they continue to play good baseball. Speaking
Tony,
of baseball,
I have to mention this, though. I have to mention this yesterday. That happened yesterday, Tony. So I was at the selection show watch party for the Fresno State baseball team yesterday morning at the Josephine Theater inside the Duncan Building. And afterwards, we talked to a couple of players. We talked to Coach Mike Basil about the selection and what's in front of them. And I asked Bates, you know, if he could compare this year's team to the team that went to the Stanford Regional in 2012, the team that had Jordan Luplow and Aaron Judge. And he starts smiling. He's like, I'd like to point out that both Aaron Judge and Jordan Luplow know that Luplow has more home runs this season than Judge, 6-5. And it got a nice laugh throughout the, you know, throughout the room. Aaron Judge, of course, has been injured, and Luplow's, you know, if he's facing the White Sox, he's going to hit two out per game. But it's pretty neat that that you've got two, you know, mashers in the bigs right now that can hit it out on any given night. And Basil wanted to make sure that we all knew that.
Well, first of all, if Bates wants to make a bet, I'm going to go with Aaron Judge by the end of the year, particularly because he gets to play against the Orioles, which is another topic that Oriole fans don't like to hear. Yankee fans love seeing pitching coming from the other orange
and
black.
And that's not a knock on Jordan Luplow.
Oh, no, of course not.
That's not a knock on Jordan Luplow. It's just, you know, a testament to the power that Aaron Judge has. We know. He had 50 home runs as a rookie. We know.
All I'm telling you is everybody in Major League Baseball, used to be the running joke about the 62 Mets, the expansion Mets, that other teams would send a limo to the airport to make sure the Mets pitching staff didn't lose its way to the ballpark, okay? Right now, every team in Major League Baseball enjoys seeing the orange and black, whether it's the Orioles pitching staff or the Giants pitching staff. Everybody else really likes seeing orange and black on the mound against them, and I'm going to leave it at that because it's just too damn painful. And by the way, to my good friend Dave, I agree with you about Mack Williamson. He's going to become the new version of that long list of guys that have been given up on by the Giants who will come back to haunt them. Let's go back to Orlando Cepeda, and from there we'll just move right on down from the 60s on through the 2000s. Also, I wanted to mention to Jess. Jess had emailed in and said, hey, you know what? I jinxed the Milwaukee Bucks. Not my intent, Jess. I don't care one way or another, but I did pick them. But Jess said he is looking forward very much to this Bulldog run coming up this weekend in Stanford, and that's where we're going to get started, Andrew. You brought up the selection show. You and I talked off air a little bit about this. There's an interesting choice, and obviously the choice has been made already. You're going to be playing a very good Santa Barbara team at 7 o'clock at Sunken Diamond on Friday night. Is that good news travel-wise because a lot of people can get there? Good news for the baseball team itself because they can spend an extra day in town, and they've already played Stanford, played them tough. It was a very good game. Familiar with the surroundings. It's good to be there. But, Andrew, here's the argument on both sides of this issue. One, you would say, okay, it's a tougher regional from top to bottom, and it is because you have Santa Barbara there, a very good team. So it's going to be tough from your opening game on. However, if you would have gone down to Westwood, never mind the logistics of playing the early game and all that stuff, you would have had a less deep regional but more top-heavy because the top-ranked team in the country is there. Now, look, if this were pool play in the Olympics in hockey or soccer or whatever where the top two advance, it would be great to be in the one that has less depth. But, Andrew, since only one team gets through, would you make the argument that you're still better off avoiding UCLA even if top to bottom the Stanford regional is tougher, the UCLA regional because of the Bruins is more top-heavy? In other words, do you have a greater chance to get out of Palo Alto than you would have Westwood?
I completely agree, and that was my first thought when they were announcing, you know, each of the regional teams that were being selected, obviously, to the NCAA tournament field. My first thought was, you know, UCLA is the number one team in the country. It would be extremely difficult to beat the Bruins on their home field. But seeing the other teams in that regional, Loyola Marymount, Baylor, Omaha, my first thought was if Fresno State was in that field, I think the Bulldogs would be the second-best team in that regional and would face UCLA for the title. I still think UCLA would come out of the regional because they are that good this season. But I also feel like, again, in complete agreement with you, Tony, I feel like the Stanford regional is more balanced, but I also feel like it is more winnable. And I think that UC Santa Barbara is a tough draw for the Bulldogs for their first game. I think it's interesting that Fresno State got the 3 seed. UC Santa Barbara, certainly with its 45-9 record, Big West champs, they could have hosted, a regional themselves had they, right. I think, won. They had to beat Cal Poly, I believe, twice and failed to do so, or else they would have hosted a regional themselves. So that's a really tough draw for the Bulldogs, but I do think they can beat UC Santa Barbara. The challenge is going to be, you know, if they, you know, whether they win or not, they're going to have to face, you know, either Santa Barbara again and or Stanford at some point, and that might be tough with your second or third pitcher out there unless he's got the best game of his life. And so it definitely is a more even regional, but I do feel like that Fresno State has a better chance to get out of the Stanford regional than the Bulldogs would have had they gone to UCLA. Personally, I have no preference as to whether they would play at 12 or, you know, 6 or 7 o'clock. The one thing, obviously, from us, you know, of course, I put my news hat on now, is if a game is at noon, it's going to be over in plenty of time for our 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock newscast. A 7 o'clock game, if it goes a little bit long, if there happens to be, you know, extra innings or some type of injury or controversy, you know, replay that needs to be looked at, you know, that creeps up against the 11 o'clock hour, and that jeopardizes our ability to have complete coverage in the 11. So I know they don't factor us into that when they make these decisions, but I personally don't have a preference either way, and I'm excited to see what Fresno State can do this weekend.
Well, I'm just glad that more fans can get there. Easier to get to Palo Alto, obviously, than Westwood from here, and the 7 o'clock Friday means if you're working half a day or even to 2 or 3 in the afternoon, you still have time. And again, with 6 hours in between the Stanford game at 1 o'clock, 6 hours in between, barring weather, there should be no delay for the start of the 7 o'clock game. And Andrew, the point I was making, you picked up on it, is if you're talking about a regional where you could more likely be out early, I would say you're more likely to be out early at Stanford because of the depth, but you're also more likely to win it. So you're kind of taking the high and low out of things and saying, you know what, you have got yourself down at UCLA where you're much more likely to get to the title game, but also more likely to lose to the Bruins. And since there is no consolation prize, only one team moves forward, I would rather run the risk of being out early with a greater chance than I'm going to win the whole thing, because three teams are going to leave disappointed. Doesn't matter whether you're 0-2 right, or you find yourself in two title games and you lose. We've said this because it's the exact replica of what we saw last week. You go into these tournaments, and your right, first goal is to win the first two. You can win a four-teamer in as little as three games, or incredibly, you can lose it in as many as five. So since the bottom line is you just want to win, you'd rather run the risk of getting chased early with a greater chance to win, which is a nice way of saying you'd rather see Stanford than UCLA. Not that the Cardinal are any bargain, that's for sure. That having been said...
No, but they dropped... Right, but the Pac-12 got, I believe, five teams into the field.
And they were down to 11. Yeah, they were down to 11 in the seeding, so there's no doubt they weren't
exactly
held in the regard of UCLA. Who, by the way,
exactly,
ends up
but
paired up with Oregon State's regional, which that is BS. Look, before we get anywhere else, you tell me, here's what I love about committees when they do this, okay? We saw the number, particularly early in the bracketing release, of conferences that were paired up with one another for the super regional if the seeds hold. And, Andrew, here's my favorite part. When the committee chairman was asked about it, he says with a straight face, "No, we didn't even consider that. We were just considering merit. Oh, by sheer coincidence, we see conferences." Are we supposed to buy that crock? Seriously, that they weren't fully aware what they were doing?
You know something, Tony? We could have a whole nother conversation about the politics and the, you know, the merits of, you know, these types of decisions. The fact of the matter is that just like in basketball, which we all love, every team that wins its conference, or conference tournament, I should say, every team that wins its conference tournament gets into the field and has an equal chance of making it to the, you know, to the College World Series in Omaha. Obviously, the teams that have better records, you know, there is no neutral site games for this. This is all, you know, at one team's home field, but it's still a nice problem to have. And if Ryan Jensen can go out there and pitch the game of his life like he did in his first game in the Mountain West tournament, then I think Fresno State has a really good chance to beat UC Santa Barbara and make it to the winner's game. But again, here's the challenge. I think if Fresno State is able to beat UC Santa Barbara on Friday, then the Bulldogs are going to have to face Stanford on Saturday, because we're assuming, of course, that Stanford's going to beat Sacramento State. That might be a tough draw for the Bulldogs, because I haven't done my research on Stanford yet, but I know they have a really good pitching, you know, staff and really good pitching depth. So it's going to fall on Davis Moore to pitch the game of his life, because there really is no room for error. And you can't go back to that midweek game that Fresno State and Stanford played earlier in the season. I believe the final score in that game was 2-1. McCarthy Tatum got the start for Fresno State, but it was a midweek game, and so it's one of those bullpen days. You can't really judge a team when it doesn't have its number one or number two pitcher on the mound. And so, you know, Stanford at that point was looking ahead to their weekend series as well. Very good team. Fresno State played them tough, but I don't think you can look at that as a, you know, as a baseline example or a guide to see how things are going to play out this weekend. So you can't look past UC Santa Barbara because, as we know, if the Bulldogs lose that game on Friday, then they have no room for error. They can't lose another game the whole weekend, and they could be playing two games per day to potentially get to Monday, and they don't want that to happen. So, but if Jensen has a great game, I don't see why they can't beat UC Santa Barbara.
Well, you're right on all counts, Andrew, but the bottom line is because of the quality of the regional, there is no way that you go away from Jensen, as you're referencing. There's no chance. We've talked about in the past, you might hold your number one guy for the second game if you felt seeding-wise you had a great shot the first game out. In this situation, you're actually, like you said, you're actually the lower seed, but more than that, independent, I don't care if they went at Fresno State 2 and Santa Barbara 3, if they would have done that, it would still apply. You're playing a team that is capable of winning this regional. I mean, that's the thing about the Gauchos. I think Sac State, obviously, is a real long shot. But any of the other three teams, Andrew, it would not stun me. And keep in mind, we've talked so often about 2011 when the Bulldogs went down to Westwood. And Fresno State had a really good team. You had great pitching there, guys that ended up in major leagues. And we thought it was between Fresno State and UCLA. UC Irvine ended up winning that regional. I can see Santa Barbara winning this regional. I can see Stanford winning it, but more importantly, I can see Fresno State getting through this thing. Is that Pollyanna, or do you say the Bulldogs have a legitimate shot on the basis of how they have played down the stretch here?
No, I think they do have a legitimate shot, and we started to know about 2 months ago that this team was really special, and it was brought up again yesterday. I mentioned it on Bulldog Insider on Sunday about how this team was 15-11 through, you know, the first portion of its schedule, and then it's just rattled off, you know, a ton of wins since then, I think 24 out of 27. And, you know, both Ryan Jensen and Mike Basil brought up the fact that, yeah, you know, they didn't start off, you know, the greatest, but they also played some tough competition. Not to say that their conference, you know, schedule was super easy that they rolled through, but they definitely took care of business when they were supposed to, and they're on fire right now. Their confidence level's at an all-time high. You know, they're getting performances from, you know, from like six different guys nightly in their lineup, and their pitching staff is really solidified. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting test to put Fresno State's best against the best from, you know, other programs in California, because it's an all-California regional, as we know. If they can get out of the Stanford regional, then they're on to a super regional. And we know what happened the last time they went to a super regional where they were supposed to lose at Arizona State. They ended up going to Omaha and winning the whole, you know, gosh darn thing. So I do like Fresno State's chances. I still think, if you're asking me for a prediction this weekend, I do think Stanford is probably going to win the regional, but I would not put it past the Bulldogs to give the Cardinal a fight. And if Fresno State is able to, as Mike Basil again said yesterday, they got to play pretty much perfect and catch a few breaks, but there's no reason why that can't happen. So I do think Stanford will come out of the regional, but I would not be surprised if at this time next week we're talking about Fresno State going to a super regional. It certainly can happen, and it's happened before.
Well, you made a reference, and we had talked about the game at the start of April, which was a midweek game, and Stanford did have, and I believe it was actually the UCLA series they had coming up that weekend, incidentally.
I believe so.
That game, which was a 2-0 game, the only two runs came in the sixth inning, but it's what you're talking about. Tatum started but threw only three innings. It had nothing to do with the quality of his work.
It was a bullpen day.
Yeah, exactly. The thing that most impressed me about that game, 2 hours and 12 minutes, Andrew. That's how long it took to play that game, all right? I can promise you there will not be a 2-hour and 12-minute game anywhere in any regional unless it's something that is rain-shortened somehow and is not made up, which is not supposed to happen either. There's a reason they have a lot of room between these games. It's because it takes a long time to play them because, like we said, they're played like the seventh game of the World Series, and they should be because for all intents and purposes, that's just about what you face because, as you were talking earlier and we've mentioned, it is so critically important. You know, we talked about it. Remember, you and I were talking last week. In basketball, if you make it to the Final Eight, if you're not one of the teams that has to play in the play-in game, and normally your conference tournament champion comes out of your quarterfinals moving forward, everybody of those top eight play exactly the same number of games if you're going to win it. You're going to have to win three games, no more, no less. in baseball it becomes so fascinating because if you lose early in these tournaments, you do have to play more games. Like I said, up to five, and you can still lose it where you can win it, as the Bulldogs did last weekend in three. That's why it is so critical that you win that first game. You not only have your top line pitching lined up, but you don't have to get into all those other arms. Andrew, does the Fresno State Santa Barbara loser, in your opinion, have any legitimate chance to come back and win this tournament, given how it's set up?
It'll definitely be a lot tougher, but I'm going to answer yes to that question because I feel like, well, I actually feel like Fresno State is already in this position right now. When you win a conference championship and you set your sights on doing just that, and Mike Batesole even again mentioned it yesterday, he said, you know, we went 2 years in this program without winning a ring, and that was too long. And he said it with a deadpan face, and we know he means business because, again, how many times have we talked that Mike Batesole loved to say for a long time that every player in the program has a ring for every year he's been in the program, and they were able to say that for a very long time, I think 7 years straight. So their goal for the season has already been reached. They are conference champions, both in the regular season and in the Mountain West Tournament. They accomplished something that they've never done before, which was win the Mountain West Tournament Championship. So everything from this point on is icing on the cake. They would love for their season to extend for a few weeks, certainly through the end of June and go, you know, try to repeat what they did in 2008. But let's say for argument's sake, they go 2-and-out. Well, yeah, it's disappointing, but they still won a conference championship so they can hold their heads high at the end of the season. The point that I'm trying to make with this, Tony, is they're not playing with their backs against the wall. They're playing loose, they're playing free, they're playing with confidence, and they have literally nothing to worry about. Even Mike Batesole's extra year extension, you know, kicked in because he was named Coach of the Year and because of what Fresno State accomplished this season. So they're all good. You know, they want to send the seniors out right. They've already done that because they won a conference championship. It will definitely be more challenging if they lose to Santa Barbara to work their way through the other end of the double elimination bracket. But I think if that's the case, again, they're playing with nothing to lose. And it's very dangerous when you're facing a team, you know, that is of that mindset. So, yes, it will certainly be a lot tougher if that is the scenario for the Bulldogs. But it's not impossible. It certainly is not impossible. And we've seen Fresno State, you know, come through the loser's bracket in years past and win tournaments that the Bulldogs probably shouldn't have you know, had a chance to do so in the first place. So, again, I'm excited to see what happens this weekend, and, you know, we'll take Friday first and then go from there.
Talked so often since the title in 2008, not only has this team not been in a regional since 2012, they've won only one game, and that was that elimination game against Pepperdine up at Stanford in 2012. Otherwise, 0-for-2 and out. It's been a frustrating time, and I do want to mention that the start times for people that are going up there. You know already, 1-7 with Stanford and Sac State playing the early game and the Bulldogs in Santa Barbara on Friday playing the 7 o'clock game. Then again, 1-7 for the games on Saturday, and naturally if you win Friday, you're going to play the 7 o'clock game on Saturday. If you lose, you're going to play the 1 o'clock game, and the loser leaves the playground in that one. But Sunday they're set up for 12 or 6, and then if there is a Monday game, it will be at 7 o'clock. That would have to be the second game of the title round, which means the team with one loss would have had to have won that game on Sunday evening. Andrew, I bring that up, and you know this well, because in 2008, we talk about brinksmanship, able to survive when you're about ready to fall off the cliff, right? The Bulldogs, yes, there were times that they had a chance to win, but every time they were facing elimination at the same time, it happened to them with UC San Diego or University of San Diego down in Long Beach. It happened, of course, at Tempe. It happened multiple times in Omaha. Every time that they were close to being pushed off the cliff, they were right there to win it. And that's one of the reasons
That team, Tony, in 2008 was truly a team of destiny. You know, and we've talked about how we're probably never going to see a scenario like that again. And the reason why is because, you know, take out for a second that you've got the lowest seeded team in any sport to win a national championship in NCAA. You also have a team that faced elimination so many times and just, you know, was right on the brink but kind of got brought back. And you can't assume that that's always going to be the case, and you certainly don't want to willingly put yourself in those positions where you're always playing with your life on the line. That was a really special season. It was a really special run. You know, again, to quote Mike Daitzel, he loved to say, well, you can't get hot, you know, for 3 weeks at a time. You know, we were streaking, yes, but, you know, he always loves to talk about how this program, you know, was just, it was good and it was taken for granted and they had a chip on their shoulder. And all of that is true. I don't think we're ever going to see a scenario again like what we saw in 2008. But that team should have lost so many times throughout the course of their postseason run. You know, again, I'm sure 2019's team is looking at that as an example of, hey, never give up. But you also don't want to put yourself in that position where, you know what, just for fun, you know, just to give ourselves, you know, some other obstacle to overcome, why don't we lose the first game and then see if we can win our way through the back end of the bracket? They're not going to do that. They don't have that mindset, I'm sure.
Thanks. I see. I was under the impression they would, that just for S's and giggles, they would go ahead and lose the first one. The reason I bring it up, though, Andrew, is, look, you can never count on a national title, nor can you even count on getting to Omaha. First of all, the Bulldogs, like we said, haven't even been to a super regional since what happened in 2008. So, first things first, you have a regional that mimics exactly what happened last week, and we know that the super regional is actually easier to win than these regionals because it's essentially a best two or three series against a given club, either on your home field or, in this case, almost assuredly, unless the four seed wins in that Mississippi regional, there's no way you're going to be at home again. So you look at the same thing you did last week, win the first two, get to a super regional if you can get that third win tucked away at Stanford. And then, Andrew, we know that when you get to Omaha, you're right back in this format again because we don't cross brackets anymore. So you're right back into the four-teamer. It's just that it's a separate four-teamer from another one going on alongside. And then you end up, like the super regional, in a best two or three. So there's an odd symmetry of this, particularly in this conference where it's four-teamer in the NC2A, three games against one club, and then again a four-teamer in Omaha, and then if you survive that, the title round is the best of three. So you know exactly what you have to do. You can't count on it happening, but how important is it for not only baseball but the bat and ball sports at Fresno State, as we've talked, that have been so prominent historically, that have fallen really down the ladder nationally, for this baseball team to make some sort of run to a super regional, for instance? Is it really important to bring the bat and ball sports back to the forefront again?
Absolutely. You know, and softball, you know, fell off a little bit this year, which is disappointing. But the program, again, historically has been, you know, an NCAA participant. And there's no reason to think that won't be the case.
Yeah, but nothing of relevance, though, Andrew, since 1999, in all candor, we have seen now already 20 seasons go by where the softball team has not been nationally relevant. It's amazing to think about it, but you have a generation who grew up without Fresno State on the national radar for softball. So, yes, they've made the regionals, but they've just been one of many. I think you need one of these two teams to get front and center, and that only happens if you get to a super regional. Am I right about that?
You are 100% correct.
Nationally.
Yes. You are 100% correct. The thing that I'll say here to bring it back to Fresno State baseball is I don't think it's any secret that the Mountain West Conference in baseball was not as strong this year as it's been in years past. I'm not taking anything away from Fresno State's accomplishment, but to really determine how good Fresno State is, you know, we're going to have to see how the Bulldogs do this weekend. They need to make some noise in order to generate some buzz nationally. Yes, they're ranked 21st in the latest Baseball America poll, and obviously people are talking about them as a dangerous three seed, which I do think they are. But if they do whimper out of this regional and go two and out, then people will say, oh well, it's just just another Mountain West team, and they were the best of the Mountain West, but the Mountain West isn't strong this year. Fresno State is probably going to have to make it to at least the championship game of this regional for people to say, okay, well, you know what, we need to start paying attention to this team and taking it seriously. But obviously, if the Bulldogs get out of this regional and go to a super regional, that's when you start to really pay attention nationally. So I still think it's a good problem for the university to have. You know, a few years ago, certainly, you know, with the main sports programs, you know, kind of being at the lowest of their low. I know the men's basketball team went to the NCAA tournament in 2016, but that was the year the football team won one game, and obviously the other sports on campus didn't really, reach their pinnacle. This year you've got a football team coming off a 12-win season. You've got a men's basketball team coming off a 23-win season. You've got a baseball team that wins a conference championship. Even some of the Olympics, the other Olympic sports, you know, men's tennis won a conference championship. You've got an individual conference champion in women's golf, women's track and field. So you've got a really good year for the athletic department, and they're going to ride baseball as long as they can. But, yes, if you really want to pare it down to the ultimate baseline in order to be taken seriously on a national level, because every conference champion gets into these tournaments, they really have to get out of a regional, and quite frankly, the softball team, you know, also needs to get to a super regional in order for Fresno State baseball and softball to really turn heads on the national scope. It's more than just winning a couple of really, you know, really big games during the course of the season. It's winning the most important games of the season, and that comes, obviously, as we know, at the end of the season.
Andrew, the Pac-12, which is the flag bearer for athletics for the West Coast in every sport, we know that. I mean, look, just talking about football, the Bulldogs, I think by acclamation, anybody who knows anything, realized by the end of the year Fresno State was the best team in the state of California, football-wise, last year. But the rest of the nation doesn't recognize it like that. They look at the Pac-12, and, you know, when you saw the breakdown of the regionals, you see the preponderance in the Southeast, right, and then a little bit in the Southwest, and you have three regionals out here. But the one thing that's undeniable, the number one team in the country belongs right now, the number one seed, to the Pac-12 in UCLA. The defending national champions happen to be up in Corvallis. A lot of people have forgotten about that. Not the people in Arkansas. Right. Trust me, they haven't forgotten about it. They haven't forgotten about that pop fly in foul territory along the first baseline. But, again, as far as the breakdown of what you see, is there any part of you, and I know you didn't grow up out here, but any part of you that thinks that the West Coast does not get the respect it deserves and had in the past? Or is this equitable, that there are three out here and the rest very much tilted of these regionals to the Southeast as far as hosting?
I would say historically you're correct, but there have been a lot of recent champions from out west. I mean, Oregon State won last year. I believe Oregon State and Cal State Fullerton both have back-to-back titles from within the last, 15 years. Arizona's done well. Obviously, Arizona State's done well. Fresno State has a national championship. And so I feel like that's accurate, but also a little bit skewed because, you know, what you're saying is almost if a team from the West Coast doesn't make noise every single year, then people forget about the West Coast. And I think that's somewhat true in college baseball because, you know, again, you've got a couple of really good programs out west, but most of the programs are, you know, from other parts of the country. But I also feel like that the programs out west have been the, you know, as you said, the flag bearer, the torchbearers for, you know, other smaller up-and-coming, you know, programs and schools that really want to make some noise. And I would put Fresno State in the category of, you know, not certainly with the historical name recognition as other programs on the West Coast, even though the Bulldogs obviously have some, you know, great players that have passed through their gates, have made it to the College World Series a handful of times, you know, put together that magical 56-win season in the late 80s. Obviously, they can boast that, you know, Augie Garrido suited up for them before he became the all-time, you know, winningest coach in college baseball history, certainly with Texas. I mean, there are a lot of connections to Fresno specifically in the college baseball world. But to answer your question, yes, I do think that most people look at the West Coast as, okay, every once in a while, a team from there will dazzle us. But for the most part, they're just kind of there, but not to be taken as seriously as they probably should be. And that's probably a chip on every one of these programs', you know, shoulders this time of year.
That having been said, Andrew, and I do realize there is justification, and sometimes we get upset out here because we feel we're ignored. I had an email I haven't gotten to yet that excoriated, again, the national shows like First Take, et cetera, for their, it's not just a perceived bias, but it probably is a bias where, and the one emailer, I have to get back to it with CG when we have time, said, hey, by the way, remind those guys that life does actually exist outside of New York and Los Angeles, because that appears to be, from a professional standpoint, all they look at, the whole NBA, is what's happening with the Knicks or what's happening with the Lakers. And the only reason the Warriors have been interlopers is because of the success. Yes?
You know what's funny on that, too, is so last night, game one of the Stanley Cup final was on NBC. So, of course, we aired it on KC24. We had a special newscast because our 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock and 6:30 shows were all blown out because of the game. But the way that NBC views the NHL when it comes to the Stanley Cup final is game one is on, you know, main NBC. Games two and three are relegated to NBC Sports Network before they come back to NBC. But there was no post-game show. And so we were anticipating as soon as that game went final last night that, oh, we've got about 15 minutes or so before we're on. We figured they'd come back with their wrap and have like a commercial break in between. We get our signal from Master Control. Nope, you guys are on in 2 minutes. And so we're scrambling to get to our studio and get it set up, mic'd up, ready to go, because NBC decided, hey, we'll just put the postgame show on NBC Sports Network. So there definitely is a bias out there, not just for New York and L.A., but also for certain sports. You know, and clearly the networks don't view hockey the way that they view other sports, which we've already known, but it's just another reminder that, you know, hockey is definitely a second-class citizen when it comes to national coverage, you know, for events like this.
You're right. Also, the only reason that Game 1 was on the mothership was because it hadn't been a holiday. Had that been a regular old Monday,
probably,
that would have been NBC Sports Network as well. That's all there is to it. By the way, to our buddy Chris up in Seattle, yeah, Chris, I'm sorry, when I was making reference to Pepperdine eliminated Fresno State from that Stanford region. You're correct. The only win the Bulldogs got was against Michigan State. That was my misspeaking. I was referring to the last game that Fresno State played in a regional. They lost to Pepperdine after winning, like you said, the elimination game against Michigan State. That is a long time ago, Andrew, and it's something that we never really... Well, we took it for granted. I mean, look, I've talked about this over and over again, long before we went to this setup, the setup of the 64 teams and the bracketing and the regionals and super regionals. We used to see 8 6-team regionals when it was 48 teams, etc. And Fresno State many times hosted at Biden Field, and we used to call Biden Field the launching pad, not just because when you played baseball this weekend, by the way, because it used to be, this was regional weekend, Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend was the national championship for a long time for college softball and the regional weekend for baseball. And it usually was around 100 degrees or so out here, high 90s or 100. And you'd get the winds out of the northwest, and Biden Field would play unbelievably small. I'll never forget when Bates and Fishel, those guys were at Fullerton, you had to watch out for your car, not merely if you were parked behind the left field fence, but if you happened to be driving on Cedar, look out, because the balls, particularly with the more lively bat and balls, Andrew, were just flying out of here. But every year, the Bulldogs, it seemed, would be hosting a regional, and you'd look up, and, you know, you had guys like Corey Snyder playing. You had guys like Mark McGuire, Randy Johnson playing for USC. My favorite part was Jack Del Rio. I brought this up. One time, catching for USC, the frat guys at Fresno State were all over him, and he had one game, Andrew, with a lot of pass balls. And the last pass ball, even though runners were advancing, he took time to flip off the crowd before he threw the ball back into play. Okay. So we just took it for granted every year that we would have Fresno State in a regional. Now, all of a sudden, we have gone from 2012 to now. That's why I think that there's been an erosion of the interest this time of year, only because the Bulldogs haven't been around. I mean, you can't expect the rest of the fan base, not the hardcore baseball fans, but the rest of the fan base in general, you can't expect them to pay attention to what's going on at ESPN3 or what have you if the Bulldogs aren't involved, right?
Right. I mean, and that's part of the problem, too, is, you know, when we were watching the selection show yesterday and I was in that
room. By the way,
you've
got about a minute, Andrew.
Officials.
Got a minute to go. Go ahead.
So we're in that room yesterday, the Josephine Theater, watching the selection show, and you're seeing these networks pop up, and it's, you know, I say networks in air quotes because ESPN3 is an online broadcast. So if you're streaming, it's not a difference to you, but if you actually have a TV, you know, and a cable subscription, you can't get that on TV. So it's internet broadcast only. The quality is still decent, but people that want the traditional ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, you're not going to get that. And so that definitely, you know, helps with the perception that college baseball is only at the forefront when it gets to a certain point or when it gets to certain teams. And that's something, unfortunately, that you can't control. All Fresno State can do is go out there, try its best, and if the Bulldogs are able to be successful, then people will start to pay attention like they did in 2008. I'm not saying this team is the 2008 team, but this team is incredibly talented, and it's one of the most talented teams that Fresno State has had in a while. So it'll be interesting to follow their run.
All right. As I let you go, a little bit of overtime here, very quickly. What's going to happen? A, are they going to be able to win this thing? If not, how close will they come? About 30 seconds.
I think Fresno State will go 1-1 Friday and Saturday and will play on Sunday. And if the Bulldogs face Stanford, I think Stanford will beat them on Sunday, and that's when they're going to be eliminated. We'll certainly see if I'm right or wrong, but my gut is that whether they beat or lose to UC Santa Barbara, if they win, then they'll have to face Stanford the next day. If they lose, they'll face Sacramento State the next day. And I think they're going to go 1-1 Friday and Saturday and play Sunday.
I think this, and here's the obvious statement of all time. If they win the first two, Andrew, they are in great shape. How about that? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead and mark that down.
That's right. Way to make a stand.
In four-team regionals, I always say win the first two, and then win the third one. All right, listen, I appreciate it. Have a great week, and we'll see how you guys handle things if the game happens to be going on about the time that you guys are trying to get your newscast together.
Well, I'll say this. We've had a few internal discussions. The plan right now is if Fresno State is still playing on Sunday, I will be doing Bulldog Insider live from Stanford. That is our plan. We don't know exactly how it's going to work yet, but if Fresno State is still playing, I mean, obviously if they lose the first two games, they're eliminated on Saturday. But if they're playing on Sunday, we're going to do Bulldog Insider live on location.
Well, that first championship bracket game is 6 o'clock on Sunday, so it would be nice if they were there, and particularly nice if they were there at 2-0. Andrew, appreciate it. Have a great week. I'll be in touch. Take care.
Thanks, Tony. Talk to you.
All right, guys, Andrew Martin, Channel 24. We'll take a break, come back a little bit more, get you ready for CG. Giants at 3:30 today, the A's 6:45 over on 790. This is 50,000 Watt 940 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. Just a few minutes to go in the show. Thanks to Russ Scorsese, as always, and to Andrew Martin for his time as well. We'll talk to Jackson Moore tomorrow, and we'll get to basketball, not only with Daryl on Thursday, but our good friend Dave Severance will be with us on Friday as ESPN's coverage of the finals begins on Thursday. If you watch the network, you can't go about 20 seconds without seeing a promo for the Warriors and the Raptors, so we'll talk about that and what our good buddy Ron Adams, former Fresno State coach, is going to do with the Warrior defense. Probably hopes Boogie isn't going to be able to play because Boogie is not in game shape right now, and I don't know how he's going to fit in, but you know what, we'll address that later in the week. Also had a question about television for the regional from Bobby, and look, here's the deal. ESPN3 for sure on Friday with the Bulldogs at 7 o'clock. There's a 1 o'clock game, the Stanford-Sac State game, so there is 6 hours in between games. Paul will have the pregame, all the games, of course, on our air at 9:40. Have the pregame at 6:30. The game on Friday, definitely in ESPN3. And then, again, the losers play at 1 o'clock on Saturday. The winners for the title round entrant play at 7 o'clock. And then you've got a noon game on Sunday and a championship game, the first one and maybe the only one, at 6 o'clock on Sunday, and if there's an if necessary game, it would be Monday. That would be if the team with one loss beat the undefeated team on Sunday evening. What the network does is they delineate everything as ESPN3, and then with all of the regionals going on, they go ahead and choose the most meaningful games. That usually means teams in the Southeast. Most meaningful games will end up on ESPN2 or ESPNU or ESPN News, rarely ESPN itself, but suffice it to say, if you've got ESPN3, meaning you've got a sub to ESPN through anything, and then you can watch things through your computer, a Roku, whatever, you will see the Bulldog games no matter what on ESPN3. If they get more available than other platforms, you know what, that's great, but just pay attention to ESPN3. Also, for us, I want to remind you, coming up today, CG will be with you for about a half hour. The Giants start at 3:30 with the 4:10 first pitch from Miami. The Giants, a long road trip east, and the way they played against the Diamondbacks, it might be wise to just never come back home again. The flip side, the A's host the Angels tonight against 6:45 with Korek and Catronio on our sister station, the Deuce 790. The A's have won 10 straight while nobody was paying attention. They're above 500. They're within range of the Astros, but as we started the conversation today mentioning, it's not likely that anybody in the West will run down the Astros, but what the A's can do is put themselves back in the playoffs again. There has never been a good team more ignored than the Oakland A's. You know why the Marlins are ignored. They stink. The A's are a really good, entertaining team. They just play in a sewer, literally and figuratively, sewer of a ballpark right now, and nobody notices what's going on in Oakland. It is an absolute shame, and maybe when the Raiders and the Warriors both leave here very shortly, another stadium will be built, maybe off of Lake Merritt, and people will pay attention to what is really an outstanding baseball team. That comes from an A's fan, ladies and gentlemen. This is KFIG Fresno.